Let me just pray. Lord, just give me something worthwhile to say to everyone. And just humble myself and just, Lord, we need to hear from you. And we just thank you for what you're going to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I took this thing out of the box, so I think I better stand behind it. But it's pretty heavy. I want to just talk about speaking to your soul. Is the title of my message. It's kind of mental health, being full of joy, and how we get there. And having really the right attitude to make a success of this life. You've got to have an attitude of faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's a scripture from the Bible. But faith gets you through things. And I was just up there. There's a poster just at the end of the corridor. It says, "Attitudes are contagious. Make sure yours is worth catching." I thought that was quite good. But how do we get an attitude that is going to enable us to win in this life? And this week, sadly, a very famous musician, Chris Cornell, hung himself. And you've got to think, what on earth is going on? This guy is just so good looking. I mean, he was a dude, wasn't he? He was just really good looking, just the atypical musician, had a voice. I mean, I don't know what range he had. It was amazing. He had an incredible guitar player. He was, he was at the top of his game. And he did a concert, and he goes back to his hotel room, and he kills himself. It's tragic. And being able to get your attitude right, and to be able to, it's all to do with winning in this life of ours, and getting to the end, running a good race, and making it right to the finish line. And let's look at some verses here. In Romans 8 and verse 6, it says this. It says, up a bit, right, there we go. It says, "The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And it says it, repeats it similar. Verse 13 says this, just a little bit higher up, down a bit. Verse 13 says, "For you, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Really, it's the first scripture I wanted to look at. Go back to 8:6 a minute. And I just want to think about this. What you think about, what you focus on, is absolutely vital for your mental health and for your joy and for victory in this life. It says, "For the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Let's look at another scripture just to cement that. In Colossians 3, in verse 2, it says this. There we go, Colossians 3 and verse 2. It says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." We come here, we've been singing away for 3/4 of an hour, and we're focusing on what God has done for us. We're focusing on the Lord. We're focusing on Jesus on the cross. We take communion. And when we take communion, we're actually focusing on the fact that His blood was shed for my sins. His body was broken for my healing. We're looking at what Jesus did on the cross, and we're receiving life from that. Somebody once said, and I thought it was an amazing bit of advice, is never, never, never feel sorry for yourselves. You know, if you think about all the things that you haven't got, all the things that you haven't done, if you just get centered on everything that you are not, you will go down. You will lose your joy. You will be depressed. And I said to my kids years ago, I remember Jilly came up to me, and she was sulking. And she was, I said, look, we don't sulk around here. I said, we talk, all right? I said, got a problem with me? Tell me about it, I said. And I, you know, my parents aren't here. But I really thankful for my family is that we sorted stuff out. And I get on well with all my brothers and sisters. And that she taught us to forgive. And we never had any atmospheres. But it was very different in my wife's family. They had no concept of forgiveness. And, I mean, we had great difficulties in the early stages of our marriage getting, you know, Milena would get upset with me and just go quiet for like 2 weeks. I mean, it was just terrible. And, but a lot of sulking, and it's just feeling sorry for yourself. And, I'm losing my train of thought here. Talk things out. Don't hold them in. Anyway, let me regroup here in my head. My mother taught us to forgive, and I mean, I remember, you know, Daniel's my brother. He's the pastor of the church, and we used to fight like crazy. And I remember banging his head into the door of a car. We used to get picked up to go to school in this minibus by the. And I remember one time me and Daniel having a fight. And I grabbed his head. I must have seen it on a movie or something. I started banging it into the head door. I didn't hurt him that badly. Maybe I did, I don't know. But we were seriously punished for it. But it didn't take us long before we were friends again. And praise the Lord for that. But going back to what we focus on and going back to really keeping a grip of our thoughts and keeping our thoughts on things that are positive and keeping our thoughts on things that are above and things that are not below. The first thing that we need to do is we need to use God's word and we need to be renewing our mind with God's word. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this. It says, I can quote it a little bit. It says, for the word of God. You got that? Hebrews 4:12. And, you know, while I'm on the subject, you know, is everyone read some of the Bible every day? Do you have your Bible readings? Now, my dad has got a Bible reading plan, and I used to use it. It's quite, you know, it's good if you like ticking boxes. But I'm really lazy, and I've got it down to the U version of the Bible, and I use the New Living Translation, and it reads it to me. And I'm also on a plan, because I like to do chunks of the Bible. I like to, it's good, you know, if you haven't ever been through the New Testament, you need to go through. You need to go, and at the moment I'm on a one-year Bible reading plan, and it's a chronological of the whole Bible. And I'm not just saying this to tell you what an amazing person I am reading my Bible. I'm just saying I need that word in me to straighten out my attitude. I'm coming back to attitude here, to see what God thinks and to think the same things that God thinks, to see the characters in the Bible and to see their struggles and to see how that they got through things. And if I copy what they do, I can also get through things. Here it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I actually collect scriptures. When I read my Bible reading plan, again, these phones are amazing because if I get a scripture, I can click on it, and then I can actually share it to like a notepad. And so if I see any good scriptures, I actually get them. And then what I find is that when I am fearful, because sometimes we have fearful days, you know, sometimes when I am afraid or when I am fearful, worried about something, I will have lists of go-to scriptures. And I've got lots and lots of lists. I've got a list of scriptures about finances, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Is it better to think about that? The fact, and here I am. I was 50 last year. I'm 51 this year. Hey, I haven't starved to death. You know, God has provided. I mean, how many zillion meals I've eaten in my life, how many pairs of shoes I've worn, how many cars I've driven. God has provided, and God will keep on providing. And I always believe God will do better and better and better and better. I always say, because I'm a freelance worker at the moment, I'm working for Bristol Water, I always say the next contract will be better. Better hourly rate, it's better than ever, I'm doing good, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And just, you know, better people to work with. This is the best job I've ever had, and I'm not kidding you, it's really good. But I believe, I say that. It's good to say things based on God's word, what God will do for you. Not based on me. I don't stand in front of the mirror and go, I'm a tiger. I'm amazing. I'm not a particularly amazing person, but I have an amazing God, you see? You know, someone wrote a book years ago called How to Make Friends and Influence People, and it was all about believing in yourself. Now, it's good to believe in yourself, but no, I have a great God. You know, some people should. I'm successful because I'm blessed by God, because God loves me. You know, when Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel, okay, he stood over the top of them and he said, I can't curse these guys because they are blessed. And later on, it says that they weren't blessed because of their good behavior. They weren't blessed because they were better than anyone else. They were blessed just because God loved them. And I'm blessed just because God loves me. You know, sometimes people say to you, say to their kids, oh, you're the most beautiful little kid in the world. You're the most clever little kid in the world. You know, you're just amazing. You're better than everyone else. That's really not true. Do you know? Frankly, there's always going to be someone better looking than you. There's always someone cleverer than you. There's always going to be someone with more money than you. It doesn't matter how good you are, there's someone better than you. You know, and you should never get built up in your own abilities. You know, that's kind of proud. I mean, we can, you know, I said to someone in the week, I'm pretty good on computers. I actually said, I'm very good on computers, in fact, I said, because I am pretty good in my area anyway. But I'm successful because God, you know, blesses me. Not going to bless me, has already blessed me. The Bible says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. I am blessed. I am a son of God. And so when I walk in work, I don't go, oh, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. I am blessed. I'm a blessing ready to manifest. Not because of me, not because of my good behavior, because of what Jesus had done. Now, I just want to, David, there are times in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David had come back and had found terrible things had gone on, all right? And sometimes things don't go the way that we expected them to do. Sometimes people don't get healed. Sometimes people don't get saved, you know? And sometimes we can let that get disappointing, you know? Sometimes we really, really, really believed for people to get healed, and they didn't get healed. They went to heaven early. Don't worry, they're in our future. We'll see them when we get there. But you know one thing that I assure myself? You're never going to get to heaven and stand in front of God and say, God, you let me down. Does that make sense? You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, shall not the God of this whole earth do right? And I think David said that just after his kid had died. He wanted his kid to live. If you know the story, it's all about Bathsheba and all the rest of it. But and his kid died. And I think David says at that point, shall not the God of this whole earth do right? You know, there's a lot of Christians that are blaming God, you know? I am not so gung-ho like I used to be on the old, you know, telling God what to do, believing I received everything and claiming it and speaking it. Because sometimes that was my own agenda. My prayers much nowadays are, Lord, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Lord, I want to, you know, if you tell me to do it, it will be successful. I'm much more in that ilk. But one thing you're not going to do is when you get to heaven is be able to blame God and say, God, why did this? God will explain to you when you get to heaven, this happened because of this. And when you see it, you go, oh, yeah, right, sure, you know? And one thing someone said once, and I think it's good, always stay on God's side, you know? If someone tells me some horrendous story about Peter, you know, he did all these crazy stuff, I wouldn't believe it because I know Peter. Even if Peter wasn't around, I think, well, you know, I'm not sure that was Peter. I think maybe someone who looked like Peter was doing that stuff. But we should stay on God's side. Do you know what I mean? Even if we don't understand. If you hear someone's, you know, you get the point. Okay, back to David. All right. So David and his men wept aloud. Well, basically, David comes back to this place called Ziklag, all right? Okay. And everything's gone. He comes back with his band of merry men. But they're not so merry because the place has been ransacked and all their wives and kids are gone, all their possessions are gone, and they're just like a burning, smoking place that's left there. And it says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David, his two wives have been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And then he says to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. The King James says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that is something we need to do. You know, there's a heavy oppression on this earth. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find, wow, it's amazing. You know, when I get to Bulgaria, I go, wow, it's amazing. It feels like the lights are on. The intensity of sunlight in Bulgaria, that's where I live a lot of the year, is England feels like the Twilight Zone. But even in the... But in on this earth, there's this oppression, you know? It doesn't surprise me when people get depressed because it's not difficult to do, is it? If you just start looking at, you know, sometimes I say I'm not reading any more news for the rest of the day because it's just starting to get me down. I mean, frankly, Donald Trump is getting me down, crying out loud. But you've got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know whether they brought him his, his electric guitar and the amplifier. And he tuned the thing up and he started, you know, rejoicing and singing. And this morning, I'm a kind of wannabe guitar player. And when Mum and Dad they're away at the moment, I've got an electric guitar. And yesterday I wired it up, so I plugged it into the speaker. So, and I get a great kick out of just, you know, firing it up and just singing some songs really loudly. You know, and it gives me joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. The reason you're going to have a good week. And one of the reasons is you have received joy this morning. And that joy actually makes you strong, helps you resist the devil, makes you healthy, makes you happy. That's why church is so important. That's why we need to be here every week. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And David found joy. David found strength in the Lord. And if you read the rest of the thing, he went back and absolutely got everything. Now, David, I think, you know, that you can see in the Psalms that there were times when David was suffering with depression. There's no doubt about it, you know. And this is a good verse here in Psalm 42, verse 5. David is going... He goes, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And I started with the soul, didn't I? The soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. And it's very affected by everything that's on this earth. And David found that, you know, when he was downcast, he said, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I love Living Waters Church. I love the fact that we praise the Lord and we lift ourselves up and we put our focus on the Lord. But you can do this at home, you know. Don't allow yourself to be blue. Don't allow yourself to be sad. Speak to yourself. Not in front of people who might think you're crazy or anything like that. But really, even last week, I just thought, man, my joy level is not where it ought to be. You know, sometimes I'm just thinking, I'm a bit miserable. And in that case, I just needed to get my eyes off the news. You know, I install news apps and then I uninstall news apps. And sometimes I had five news apps going. And I thought, wow, this is really out of control. News apps. So I deleted loads of them and just left myself one. And then now they're creeping back on again. But it doesn't help to be just looking at all the terrible things that's going on in the world and all the crazy things that are happening. It doesn't help if you're struggling in your health to be watching, you know, programs about hospital and stuff like that, and programs about people with terminal diseases, you know. I like films with happy endings. I don't want make me watch sad films. I like happy films. You know, life is too sad to get well involved in literature and stuff that is just miserable. You know, I like, maybe I'm just childish, I don't know, but I do like things that make, that lift me and don't depress me. Finally, let's have a look at, I've got one more scripture, and man, I'm going to strike half past right through the middle here. Wow, praise the Lord. The Psalms are great, you know, that's what we need to know, the Word of God. Psalm 91. I'll tell you a story. About 2 years ago, my mum and dad came to visit me in Bulgaria. And mum goes to me, she goes, I'm as sick as I've ever been in my life. And they had colds and flu. And I was thinking, great, why didn't you stay back in England? Why are you sitting on my sofa, you know? And immediately fear started coming on me, you know. You're gonna get it, you know. I remember running upstairs, opening up Psalm 91, and reading, "No evil shall befall me, no plague shall come near me, hallelujah." And what I was doing was getting my eyes off the terminal cases downstairs, and getting my eyes on the fact that He will protect me from sickness and disease. And you know what? I didn't get any of it. And there were times when it was coming on me, and I was running upstairs, and I kid you not, I did that operation of running around reading Psalm 91 probably 4 or 5, 6 times. But I needed to get a grip of my mind, and I needed to focus it up. Psalm 103 is a great scripture. It says this. It starts off with, and we all know it, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," or "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost being, praise His holy name." That takes an effort, guys. That doesn't just happen to you. You don't just wake up feeling like that sometimes. Maybe you do. Maybe you're a really, really positive person. Sometimes you just got to get a grip of yourself. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." It's good to remind yourself all the things God has done in the past. And the fact is that if He did them in the past, He's going to carry on doing them in the future. And then it says, "Who forgives all your sins," hallelujah, "and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies your desires." He satisfies your desires with good things. I like what Peter, many times today, we've heard, God is good. I like Peter. Peter has a spirit of faith on him. Do you know that? Peter, you need to be someone that other people want to be around. You need to be someone that makes other people happy. You know, I don't like whingers. And I've been one. And I do my level best not to whinge. And nowadays, when I hear people whinging, it really rubs me the wrong way. Positive, joyful. We should be the happiest people. A guy called Demas Shikarian wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth. If you've never read it, it's a brilliant book. But we should be the happiest people on earth because we have got hope. We have got Jesus. And it says, and He renews our youths like the eagles. And so, one more verse. Let's just look at, I've missed it off my list here. In 3 John 1, verse 2 says this. You see, God's will is prosperity. God's will is healing. God's will is salvation. Does that mean everyone will prosper? No, not necessarily. Does that mean everyone is going to be saved and go to heaven? No. It's God's will that everyone becomes a Christian and goes to be with heaven when they die. But not everyone is. It's God's will that we be healed. but sometimes people fail to receive. It's God's will that we have every need met, but there's sometimes reasons why we don't. And one of the reasons it says, "Dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and all may go well with you." And then it puts this bit on the end, "even as your soul is getting along well." To have your soul in good shape. The Bible also mentions the saving of the soul. Have you ever seen that? As you read through the two or three times, it talks about the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul, I don't believe, is actually becoming a Christian. The saving of the soul is kind of what I've been talking about here, is the actual getting a grip of your fleshy, you know, complainy, miserable human self and becoming full of joy and keeping your eyes on the Lord as a habit. And it says, "I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may will well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." And that soul getting along well takes some effort. And hopefully I've given you a few hints on how to do that. And let me just pray over us and we'll go and have a cup of coffee or tea. And there's prayer available at the back. And that's cool. Father, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the cross, and thank you that we are blessed and that we can be healed, and you renew our youth like the eagles, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you that we're people who are blessed, and we're people that, as someone said today, the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I thank you that faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. And Lord, I just pray over all of us that your word says that with long life you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. And Lord, I thank you for all the deliverance and salvation that you've already given me. And I thank you for all the deliverance and salvation and healing and everything I need that you will continue to supply for me and for all my brothers and sisters here, because you are a loving, good Heavenly Father. And I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Hallelujah.